Good morning, friends. This is Joel Martin with you for the Everlasting Word. Now, today's message is going to come from the book of James, chapter 4. And the thought for today is be still and know that He is God. Examine yourself and see where you stand. Now, how oftentimes in our daily routine in our life do we stop, examine ourselves, and give ourselves a spiritual checkup? For this world can get us so preoccupied, us taking care of this, us worrying about that, we gotta do this, we gotta do that, that oftentimes we fail to stop, take a spiritual inventory, and to really look and see, am I walking in His paths of righteousness for His name's sake? For very subtly, our enemy, Satan, wants us to be walking down a path that seems godly, but it denies the power thereof. If we're not careful, he will spiritually hypnotize us, if you will. We think we're doing okay. We think we're going in the direction that we need to go, but he's very subtly getting us to drift away from God. Now, today's message is going to come from the book of James, chapter 4, and we're going to begin with verse 4. And James uses some very strong language, but thank God for the strong language, because you know what? It gets our attention. It gets our attention, gets us to listening here. For see, as we begin in verse 4, James says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Wow, if that doesn't get your attention, I don't know what is. What would get our attention? But the thing is here that James is not talking about one's spouse, a husband or a wife, being unfaithful to one or the other. What he's talking about is us being spiritually unfaithful to God. See, that's what he's really talking about. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. And he asks a question. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? It says, don't you understand that if you form alliances with this world, if you go along with this world, if you do the things of this world, if you walk like this world, if you talk like this world, don't you know that that's enmity, that that's the enemy of God? Don't you understand that? Don't you understand that this world is not your home? For if you're truly born again, your home is in heaven. Your name is in the Lamb's book of life. But don't you understand this? And see, Paul, I can imagine here, I say Paul, but James is asking the question almost like he's astonished. Why don't you understand this? Don't you understand the concept of being spiritually unfaithful to God? But unfortunately, friends, we live in a world that doesn't understand, that doesn't truly understand that what being spiritually unfaithful to God truly is. For Jesus himself said, you cannot serve God and mammon. So we can't have one foot in the world. And one, we cannot straddle the fence. We cannot have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. We can't do it. For if we're going to serve God, we have to be all in. But see, James asked the question, almost like he's astonished. Why don't you understand this concept? And he goes on in verse 4, he says, and he makes a statement. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Wow. Can you imagine how many people that occupy a spot on a pew in a church every Sunday, that they go to church to be seen, they go to church to check a box, but 6 days a week they live according to the world, they have no spiritual discernment about themselves, they have no desire whatsoever to serve the true and the living God, to suffer affliction for His name's sake, to walk according to His paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So they live the way they want to 6 days a week, but yet they'll go sit and occupy a spot on a pew on Sunday morning. Friends, that's an enemy to God. Because we cannot walk according to this world and expect to be blessed by God. We cannot walk according to this world and expect God to answer our prayers. For so many people become bitter against God, angry toward God. But first, friends, we need to learn to step back and examine ourselves and see where we are spiritually. For God will honor our prayers when we become obedient to Him and walk and confess our sins and worship Him in spirit and truth and walk in His paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Otherwise, if we have sin in our life and if we're a friend of this world, friends, our prayers are not getting past our upper lip. They truly not. But then in verse 5, he asks another question. He says, "Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" So James is asking the question, why do you think that scripture's there? That the spirit in you lusts, that carnal spirit in you, it lusts to envy. It lusts for strife. It lusts for those things. And we have to keep that spirit in check. We have to surrender ourselves to God. We need to take our flesh and crucify that flesh and let the Spirit of God lead, guide, and direct us every day. And basically, James is asking the question, do you think that's written in the scripture just to take up space? For when this was penned down, did God require me to have 100 words? Or 200 words. No, it ain't about taking up space. It's the truth that, friends, the spirit that's in us, that carnal spirit that's in us, it lusts to envy. It lusts for the things of this world. Our carnal spirit, the sin nature that's in us, wants to walk according to the ways of this world. But, friends, if we're truly born again, we have to feed the spirit that's in us, that earnest that Jesus Christ put in us when He saved our soul. We have to feed that so we won't walk according to the ways of this world. But then we go to verse 6, and James changes gears a little bit. He says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud." Friends, if we have a prideful heart, if we have a prideful spirit, if we want to lift ourselves up, if we want to prefer ourselves before we prefer our brother, if we have pride that we won't witness when God says witness, if we won't do the things and if we're not obedient because of pride, God will resist us. But then he says, but in the middle, a little bit past the middle of verse 6, but giveth grace unto the humble. Friends, I don't know about you, but I need God's grace every day. I need His grace every minute, every second of every day. So what does that tell me? That tells me to humble myself before a holy, almighty, righteous God so that He may lift me up. Friends, I cannot lift myself up beyond the miry pits of clay of this world and the deception of this world, for we know that Satan is the power and the prince of the air of this world. I cannot lift myself up above that, but we know through the grace of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that He can lift us up. But right here in verse 7, where it ends verse 6, he says, but giveth grace unto the humble. Then he gives some very, very good instructions for us all to follow. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now let's read this verse. Does he say first, resist the devil and he will flee? No, he doesn't say. The first step we have to take is to submit ourselves, therefore, to God. He is our shield. He is our protector. He is our cloud by day. He is our pillar of fire by night. He is those things. And we first must submit ourselves to God. And through the power of God, in the faith, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And then he continues on the instructions. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. But notice this. He says first for us to draw nigh to. We must take that first step. We must decide that we're going to walk away from this world and go and walk toward God. And then he goes on. He says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Friends, we were born with a sin nature. I don't care how saved you are. We still have that sin nature. We still have that curse of sin. And that's why even the best we can do is as a filthy rags before a holy and a righteous God, because we have that sin curse in us. And he says, and purify your hearts. Do we understand that the origin of sin is not in our mind? The origin of sin is from the very depths of our heart. For the Bible teaches us that a man's heart is excessively wicked. And the only remedy for curing the wickedness of a man's heart is the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary. That is it. That's where we must submit ourselves to God. Let him be our protection. Let him be our shield. Let him be our exceeding reward. Let him be those things for us, and that he will lift us up. And then, here in verse 9, is ultimately where I want to get to. For here in this time, we've been hearing a lot about our nation's 250th birthday, which is great, a great accomplishment, and what this country was founded on. God has blessed this country. However, from the time that our founding fathers found this country and what the foundation of this country was founded on, now let's look at the condition that our country is in. Our country has turned its back on God. We have had a great falling away. We do not want to acknowledge our Savior with anything, but what the instructions that we need to do is we need to take a step back and examine ourselves and realize that the laughter and the greatness that we think we are as a country, we are nothing without the true and the living God, for we have turned our back on him. We have been spiritual adulterers and adulteresses. We need to get on our knees and confess our sins as a country and turn our back to God and walk in his name, walk in his paths of righteousness for his name's sake. For it says in verse 9, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Why should we be afflicted and mourn and weep? Because we need to take a step back and examine ourselves and the good times and the prosperity that we think that we have enjoyed, but really our hearts are wicked and sinful toward God. We have turned our back on God, and we need to be afflicted and mourn and weep because of that. And it says, let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So friends, the gist of this message is for us to stop, take a step back, and take a spiritual inventory of ourselves and see where we stand with a holy and righteous God. Have we been spiritually unfaithful to him? Have we let Satan kind of spiritually hypnotize us and lead us astray? We need to take that step back, submit ourselves to God, and so Satan will leave us and God will truly show us our status with him. But as I look at the clock, my time has run out. I hope something has been said in this message that would be a help to you. Until next week, this is Joel Martin.